Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live. But first, hi, this is Pastor Bob and Yart of Denver Bible Church. And I'd like to ask you to think about something that came up this past weekend at our local abortion mill in Denver at the Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine. There was a Christian there who was talking to one of our church members, Jason Troyer. Actually, Jason was just on the fringe of the conversation. But it turns out that the one Christian was saying that he believed that he's against abortion. Abortion is murder. Christians have to be there to stop abortion. Well, we all agree with that. And he said, but he believed that it was God's will that those babies in there were being killed, that they were being slaughtered, because it was God's plan, because God had decreed it from the ages of the ages, that God had determined that babies would be slaughtered by abortionists in Denver in November of 2003. So Jason was trying to show the guy how absurd that is, to say, to attribute all vile wickedness to God. And the guy told Jason, hey, you shouldn't be attacking my view, my Christian belief. And Jason said, if your Christian belief is true, then I've been predestined to attack it. If it's true. And I'd like these people who think this, who attribute vile wickedness to God, I'd like them to think about something that God said back to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 19 and Jeremiah chapter 32. Back then, they didn't have abortion the way we did, but they killed babies by taking their infant children, their sons and their daughters, and burning them alive as a human sacrifice to their false god, Molech. Just so despicable. And some Christians actually believe that everything that happens flows as a command from the mind of God. Every filthy perversion, every wicked cruelty was all designed and orchestrated by God. It really disgusts me that so many Christians believe that. At Denver Bible Church, we don't mince words. We state very clearly that the Christians who say that might be well-meaning, but it's blasphemous. And so what God said, so either they think that God commanded these wicked things to be done, or they think that God has thought through every possible alternative. He's just thought it all out. Every filthy way that a homosexual could behave in the back of a gay bar, or every cruel thing a man could do to a woman as he's victimizing her, that God's thought of all these things out. And in Jeremiah, God says he's condemning their wickedness. And he says that they built these altars of Baal to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, and they burn their children to death to offer as human sacrifices. God says, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination. Jeremiah 32:35. And also in Jeremiah 19, verse 5, God said, they burned their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. And we have Christians today attributing the worst, the most vile perversions and filth, despicable things that God says it's a burden for him even to look and to see what wicked human beings are doing. And Christians are saying God is the one who conceived the filth and the perversion. Isn't that terrible? So much of Christianity believes that. We need to fix it, guys. We got our work cut out for us. Hey, this is Bob and Yart inviting you to come on out to Denver Bible Church. And now stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and I'm in a good mood. I have my first string studio staff back from their holiday travels, so I'm in a good mood. Everything here should work just great. I'd say that's a reasonable ratio here. You've heard the story from yesterday, the deadliest reported firefight since the fall of Saddam Hussein's government. U.S. soldiers yesterday fought back coordinated attacks in northern Iraq in the city of Samaria. Our troops killed 46 Iraqi fighters, but five of our guys were wounded. But I'd say that's a reasonable ratio. You know, we want it to be better, but 46 killed of the enemy and five of our guys wounded. We prefer 46 killed or 1,000 killed and none wounded. But at least when we have the opportunity to fight, we obviously do a fabulous job. And the odds were rough because this was they fired upon two supply convoys simultaneously on opposite sides of the city of Samarra in northern Iraq. And the attackers opened with fire from rooftops and alleyways. They were using mortars, rocket-propelled grenades, RPGs, bombs, small arms fire. And our troops responded with 120-millimeter tank rounds, 25-millimeter cannon fire from Bradley fighting vehicles. And so we were basically ambushed simultaneously, two convoys at the same time, and the final tally was 46 enemy dead and five American soldiers wounded. So that's we did a pretty good job there, 46 Iraqis killed. Also yesterday, three members of Osama bin Laden's terrorist network were captured by U.S. forces in northern Iraq, said the commander of the 2nd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division. That's good news, too. And also the news out now that as we, you know, we're combing through Iraq's government documents, files, millions of pages of documents, and we found extensive documentation of Iraq's negotiations with North Korea for Saddam Hussein to build North Korean rockets in Iraq, which is a complete violation, obviously, of the weapons of mass destruction UN resolutions. So anyway, let's see. Now, what else do we got going on here? Oh, this. So that's the good news out of Iraq. And good news on the health front. You know, if people have cancer, you'd rather not take, chemotherapy, radiation therapy if you don't have to, because the therapy could practically kill you, kill some people. But there is a new fine for radiation therapy that it looks like it could be tremendous. And to get an idea of how it works, basically they trick the cells into committing suicide. And I'm just going off a short article about this from British researchers. Scientists have found a way to cause cancer cells to commit suicide. And they're a long way from actual treatments. But let me tell you how, your normal cells, forget the cancer cells, but normal cells, you know, cells are tiny. It's about a trillion of them in your body. And some are larger, and some, they're just tiny little things. And the cells, they could be eaten by other cells or destroyed by white blood cells. What keeps one cell from, keeps it from eating another cell? Well, they have these chemical signals that they put out, and they say, I'm a cell, don't eat me. And so then they don't get eaten. But when a cell starts to die, it starts to sort of shut down operations, and it flips the sign around like a store open and close sign, and it changes the chemical signal, and it says, I'm dead, eat me up. Because otherwise, your body would be filled with a billion dead cells. And so you might as well not waste not, want not. So God designed our cells to say, I'm dead, eat me. And that's what happens. That's cool. That's great. Well, at any rate, these scientists in Britain have found out that instead of doing a regular dose of radiation, they could take a micro beam, like a tiny, tiny little beam. It's about 1/1 of a millimeter wide. And they fire a stream of helium particles, charged helium particles, and they shoot just one cell in a tumor. Actually, so far, all the research is in a little culture dish. They shoot one cell, and that cell realizes, I'm going to die. And it sends out a signal of some type, and many cells around it, they all commit suicide. They all die. And so the researchers are finding out that now they could do this in a culture dish, like a petri dish. And they get a group of 1,200 cancer cells, and they hit one, and they cause this wave of death throughout the cell. And many of its neighbors then are launched on the path of suicide. So that's pretty cool. That's an exciting development. So good things are happening in Iraq, potentially good things in the fight against cancer. What else do we have? Oh, this is just terrible. You know, I've been saying, how many years have I been saying, well, since I've been on the air, 12 years, I've been saying that in conservatives sometimes don't like my show, Bob Benyert Live. They get upset. And, you know, if I say something that's not true, call me up and let me know. 1-800-836-9278. But I've been saying for 12 years that federal spending goes up faster under Republican presidents than it does under Democratic presidents. And so here we have now this report by the Washington Times that non-defense spending under George W. Bush, a Republican president and a Republican Congress, non-defense spending has skyrocketed. And that the spending is going to now hit the stratosphere with George W. Bush's new drug entitlement for seniors. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, reported that non-defense spending rose this past year by 7%, and since Bush took office in 2001, non-defense spending has increased 13%. He's blowing away Clinton. Forget Clinton. We've got Bush now.
At Bob Benyert Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty, and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Benyert here with a live commercial break. Hey, people are telling us they love these videos. Just love them. The real Mount Sinai. The real Mount Sinai, what a good, it's on DVD only. And then Unlocking the Mysteries of Life Against Evolution on VHS or DVD. If you get one of each of those and give them as a Christmas present, as a set, or for yourself, or for your church library, people will thank you. The Unlocking the Mysteries of Life DVD, that is the best video I have ever seen against evolution. It just decimates the theory of evolution. And then the real Mount Sinai, actually, the full title is Mountain of Fire, the search for the real Mount Sinai. That video shows amazing evidence that the most remote history of the Bible is accurate, and even evidence for the supernatural stories in the Word of God, evidence that remains to this day, archaeological and geologic evidence. God is cool. You know, when he did things, he left the evidence that we could know thousands of years later that he really did work among us. So call us 800-8-NYAR and order some Christmas presents. Bob Enyart, 1-800-8-NYAR, 1-800-836-9278. So if you're a conservative and you think that this is incorrect, you could let me know. But now, not only has non-defense spending increased 13% since 2001, right, 2001, 2002, 2003, in 3 years, and just 7% spending rose just this past year. It's horrendous. Non-defense spending. Non-defense spending. Because we can understand defense spending increasing because we're at war. But non-defense spending, you know, when you're at war, that's when you should tighten your belt. And with a Republican president and a Republican Congress, there's virtually no fiscal responsibility whatsoever. You just can't hope for it, because the Republican presidents will always outspend the Democratic presidents on socialism and socialist programs. So the Republican President Bush is poised to sign into law a new federal entitlement. Imagine that. A brand new socialism program, the $400 billion, did you get that? $400 billion? $400 billion Medicare expansion to cover prescription drugs. It's just, and you know who has to pay for that? Our grandkids. The grandkids pay for it. And, you know, the grandkids pay for it because their taxes. A kid tries to start a business, and there's hundreds of regulations, dozens of forms, and taxes he's got to pay for: inventory taxes, real estate taxes, utility taxes, employee taxes, sales taxes. And he's trying to survive, and he can't. He just gets drowned. He's drowned in a good effort. And he gives up because the taxes are now, they're 50%. 50% of what we make in the country, the government takes as taxes. So now, and that's without this $400 billion prescription drug program, $400 billion. So it's unjust. It's not right to take money by force from your neighbors so you could get what you want. It's just wrong. So anyway, all right, but for those who think that if we elect a Republican president, a Republican Congress, then we'll get a control on spending in the federal government. You know, giving more money to the government is like giving heroin to an addict. You got a drug addict? And you go ahead, give him a little crack. Yeah, maybe that'll help him. And so even buying, not that it's a sin, but even buying U.S. savings bonds, and you're giving the government more money that it gets at a low interest rate that they pay you. That's like giving bourbon to a drunk. You find a guy laying in the gutter that stinks and it's thrown up all over himself, and give him a rum and coke. That's like giving the government more money. So that's a tragedy. But the tragic part is that Christians think, even though we've had now 50 years of evidence that Republican presidents spend way more than Democratic presidents, the Republican conservative Christians all think that Republicans spend less money than Democrats. Isn't that funny? What's with that? Did you ever, you remember Bob Dole ran for president? Now, I think of all the conservative Christian shows in the whole country, I don't know, is Bob in Your Life the only one that actually looked up his voting record? Because I don't think anyone in Congress voted to increase taxes more than Bob Dole. You remember, he was the guy who always spoke about himself in the third party, in the third person. He would say, Bob Dole wouldn't do that. It's like, well, who are you? I'm Bob Dole. Oh. One time I went into a barber shop. Well, not a barber shop, a hair salon in Chicago to get a haircut. And I said to the woman, she said, well, how do you want your haircut? I hate that question. How do you want your haircut? Just off. How do I want it cut? How do you want your haircut? I said, well, make me look like no one will notice me. And she said, huh? I said, I don't want to look good. I just want to look average. Make it that no one will look at my haircut. And she said, I don't know what you mean. I said, make me look like Bob Dole. And she said, who's that? I said, he's running for president. What kind of a governmental system do we have in this country? Everything is backwards. Everything is backwards. It's just bizarre. So that lady, she probably is one of the ones who's deciding the direction of the country. Because, you know, Hillary Clinton says that we need to make sure the country goes in the direction that the people want it to go. Who, that haircutter lady? She knows what direction it should go in? Maybe the activist, maybe they know. Like in Cincinnati, there are black activists who are calling for the firing of the police chief in Cincinnati because, a 400-pound repeat offender criminal died after he violently attacked police officers. And after the struggle, he died. And so these activists are complaining that the police are doing nothing to prevent the deaths of blacks who attack police officers. And I would think what they should do is begin a don't attack cops campaign. See if that doesn't help. Why don't they take out ads on MTV and tell people that it's a new idea they're promoting, don't attack blacks, don't attack cops. And then at the same time, they could suggest, and also, don't attack your family members so that they won't have to call 911, so that you won't pull a gun or a knife on police officers and then get shot. So isn't that a good plan for doing something to prevent the deaths? Just tell people, well, don't attack police officers and don't attack your family members. And we'll find out in 1 year if fewer people are killed by police officers. How about that? So anyway, but really it's the people who need to decide the direction of the country. And so maybe, you know, and those cops, they were treated worse than the criminals. And it's all on video, and the video shows clearly that the police officers were behaving properly and defending themselves and trying to subdue this guy. But none of that matters. Our system treats the cops as criminals, worse than the criminals. The criminals get treated better than the cops. All right, what else? And don't, and I know that criminals get treated better than the cops. I went to Boulder County Jail. Now, I'll admit that if you're going to go to jail, Boulder County in Colorado, that's the jail to go to. That's a top-notch, first-rate jail. In fact, if you're a Christian family and you spank your kids and you're worried you might go to jail, take your kids to Boulder before you spank them. Spank them in Boulder so that if you had to go to jail, at least you have a good jail. But anyway, I went to Boulder County Jail for a peaceful abortion protest. I went with a guy called Bishop Moat, an Anglican bishop from St. Mary's down in Denver or Englewood or somewhere. And so the night I'm inducted into the jail and I'm in intake before they put you in the general population. And I got there at night, about 6-7 o'clock at night, and they brought me this meal that was the most extraordinary. It was stuffed peppers parmesan with potatoes au gratin and apple crisp or apple turnover or something. And I'm trying to think, which of the nicer restaurants in Boulder did they get this food order takeout for me? And I thought, this is really nice of you guys. I must have missed the meal, and you guys got this great food. I'm always going to go into jail at 7 o'clock at night from now on. And they said, no, this was the normal food. All 300 inmates, they all got the same thing. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I really was surprised. And by then, you'd think I would have known. But so, yeah, we could treat our cops worse than we treat the criminals. Because people don't know right from wrong. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Oh, there was more good news in Iraq. Hillary Clinton was there. Of course, she's evil. But she did say, and when Hillary says this, it's more credible than anyone else in the world to say it. She said that the morale of our troops, quote, is very high, unquote. Now, that means it's indisputable because she doesn't like George W. Bush and she would like to undermine him. And so for her to say that we must stay the course in Afghanistan and Iraq and that the morale of the troops is very high, that was good to hear, even though I despise her. But I'm not there. I don't know what the morale of the troops is like. And the mainstream media will generally lead you to believe it must be bad. But that was good to hear. And it must be better in northern Iraq after this one firefight where we killed 46 Iraqis. 46 enemy soldiers dead. That's good. All right. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. We're going to be at the bottom of the hour in just a minute. But when I say that things are so broken, people don't know right from wrong. And you know, people are broken. The human race is broken. People are evil. Liberals think people are basically good. People are evil. So you meet somebody in a checkout line of a grocery store, and you have a 95-second relationship with them. You talk, you smile, say you help each other. Oh, here's this, that. And you think, oh, how nice that person is. But what if you got to know them? What if you got to know the person? Like the fire department, the firemen in New York City. Did you hear about all the firemen, the heroes, who've divorced their wives to marry the widows of their fallen brethren? Hey, Bob Enyart here. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. Have you listened to our Revelation Bible study? Oh boy, is it fun. Revelation. We have it available on two MP3 CDs. And it, how many hours is it? It's 16 hours or more. I'd say, let's see. It's probably 17, 18 hours. I haven't timed it, actually. But two MP3 CDs, and we go through the whole book of Revelation. And I think you'll love it. The first CD is called Seven Churches, Seven Seals. And the second one is called Seven Trumpets, Seven Bowls. And it's just so enjoyable to study the book of Revelation and to go through it and to feel like, hey, this makes sense. Now, some commentaries will tell you, you get into the book of Revelation and they'll tell you it's all symbolic or it's all out of chronological order or it's all. And we go through and we make the argument and give the evidence that the book of Revelation is relatively straightforward. It's relatively straightforward. It's in chronological order. And it makes sense based on the story of the whole Bible. When you study the whole Bible and you got a good overview of the whole Bible, you get to the end, the last chapter, the last act, so to speak, and it should make sense. And it does. And one of these nights this week, I'll tell the story of from the prosecutor who was talking to one of the detectives in his county about studying the book of Revelation. And I'll tell you why the detective told the prosecutor that he had to listen to the Bob Inyart Live Revelation study. I'll tell you that in a commercial, maybe the next commercial. NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So, conservative Christians, we believe when the Bible says that men are basically sinful, men are sinners, and liberals say men are basically good, as though you have to teach a child to lie or steal or hit their brother. No, you have to teach them not to do those things. But in the history of the world is man's inhumanity to man. And even after a tragedy like the World Trade Center terrorist attack and the firemen who died, how many firemen were killed back then? Now, that was a statistic that was on the tip of everyone's tongue for a while. And was it about 300 or so? Was it somewhere around that neighborhood? Well, you know what they do in the New York City Fire Department? It's been a tradition. If one of the firemen get killed on duty, killed in the act of service, and he leaves a wife and children, then the other firemen, there's this unwritten law that they help the fallen fireman's family. And so what's happened is that the widows of the firemen who were killed, each widow was, in a way, assigned a helper, a supporter of the other firemen. Now, does that seem to you like a really foolish idea? Well, at any rate, so far, more than 12... Well, at least 12 New York firemen have divorced their wives in the cases where they have kids, left their kids, and married the widows of their fallen firemen, co-workers. And one woman, Mary Koenig, whose husband Jerry left her to shack up with or marry a 9/11 widow. The wife who's now been divorced, Mary Koenig, said it's disgusting, heartbreaking what they have done. And her husband, Jerry Koenig, is with the Staten Island Rescue 5 Squad. And according to the New York Post, he ditched her and their two kids for Madeline Bergen, the widow of his friend and firehouse mate, John Bergen, after the World Trade Center attacks. And that's one of at least 12 that they know of. 12 firemen who, since 9/11, have divorced their wives, left their wives, to move in with, shack up with, or marry one of their fallen, you know, co-workers' widows. That's just sick. So this guy, John Bergen, and Jerry Koenig, two New York firemen, they basically lived together. They were firehouse mates. When they were on duty, they lived in the firehouse together. And so obviously over time, they'd get to know one another's wives and they'd see one another. And so, you know, so this guy, Jerry, he knew Madeline. And now Madeline's husband, John, gets killed in the World Trade Center attack. So the fire department, they sort of oversee this process, not closely, but they know it's implemented. So he's now going to be the father for her kids and be there for her. You couldn't get a more stupid idea if you worked for a year to come up with a stupid idea. And so it's like the person you meet in the checkout line at the grocery store. And you think, what a wonderful person that is. What a great, boy, why can't my husband be like that guy? And you only knew that guy for 94 seconds. You didn't have the time to irritate him. And it's easy to put on a facade, to be in a circumstance where, well, you look so great. Oh, look how good we look. But in reality, we're selfish. We hurt one another. We're prideful. We tend to not admit our mistakes. And the world is broken. The people are broken. The heroes are broken. The heroes are not heroes. And so this woman, Mary Koenig, she's right. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. She said her husband had been the Bergen family's liaison, a surrogate parent role that's traditionally taken on by a fireman when a fellow firefighter is killed. And it's a tradition that goes back more than 100 years. And if, you know, if you were to say it's a bad idea, you know, they would think you're a freak if you were to say that's a bad idea. Our government, even the government, the military, will send a man and a woman on a mission, not in war, just to work together in a missile silo to spend a weekend together, a man and a woman alone overnight. For the whole weekend, even when the guy's married. Right? That's happened. By the way, our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Businesses will send a man and a woman together on a business trip when they're not husband and wife. And of course, feminism drools when they think about that circumstance. Feminist drool when they think about the opportunity for employees, co-workers who are not married to go off on business trips together. They drool over it. They demand the right to do it, and they drool over it. Because, well, one reason is they hate marriage, and they realize that men and women, unmarried or married men and women traveling with someone of the opposite sex, unchaperoned, is just a great way to bring about divorce. And so even if they haven't fully thought it through, even if it's just somewhat unconscious, they drool over it. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800 836-9278. Now, earlier I mentioned the increase in spending by the Republican administration, and we've got a call here from Castle Rock, Colorado. Jonathan, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I was just going to mention that I think that spending is higher under Republicans than Democrats, and that's especially true, as we can see now, with the prescription drug bill that's going through.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, without that, spending has gone through the roof without that.
Yeah.
And now, it's just unbelievable. Trillions of dollars of debt that piles up quicker under Republican administrations than under Democratic ones. So, yeah.
Yeah.
How, Jonathan, so is this an observation on your own? Have you seen it reported in the media lately? What?
Yeah, I've seen a magazine article to that effect. Mm. I believe it was in something called The New American.
Oh, yeah.
But they basically compared Bush's spending to Clinton's.
Right.
And, you know, it was he had already outpaced Clinton after his first year in office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no understanding, you know, the Republican Party doesn't understand basic principles of right and wrong. They don't understand that you can't steal from people to buy votes. They don't get that. And so George Bush will, you know, just like Bill Clinton did, he'll go around the country and tell people what kind of program, spending program, he's going to give for their special interest to get their votes.
Yeah, I think that's the worst part about socialism is it enables politicians to buy votes by segmenting people into groups, into elderly and minorities, and, you know, there are various groups that they can pander to by promising them money by offering or having people vote for them. They can redirect money to those groups.
Well, Jonathan, from your own observations, which group is more well off financially, senior citizens or young families with young kids? Which group is more well off?
More well off?
Yeah, financially.
I would say senior citizens.
Oh, yeah, far more well off than families with young kids. And this $400 billion for prescription drugs, that's taking money from which group and giving it to which group?
I'm sorry. Say again. You cut out there for a moment.
The $400 billion for prescription drugs.
Yeah.
That's taking money from which group and giving it to which group?
It's basically taking it from the middle class that are struggling to even build up a retirement fund and redirecting it to those people who have already lived their lives and have been able to save up.
Yeah.
For their retirement.
Yeah, so the young families with kids, little kids struggling, have to come up now with hundreds of billions of dollars for people who are more well off. We'll be back right after this. Bob Enyard here with a live commercial break. Here's that story about our Revelation Bible study. A detective, not in Colorado, but a detective in one of the other 49 states, went to the county prosecutor, and they knew one another were Christians. And so the detective said to the prosecutor, "So what are you doing at your church?" The prosecutor said, "We're studying the book of Revelation." And the detective said, "No, you're not." And the prosecutor, who's higher on the food chain, you know, the prosecutor's normally more influential and better paid than the detective. And the prosecutor said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You asked me, what are we doing at our church? I said, we're studying the book of Revelation." And the detective again said, "No, you're not." And the prosecutor got a little annoyed and said, "Look, we've been studying the book of Revelation for a year at our church. Why are you saying, no, you're not?" And the detective said, "Well, do you understand the book of Revelation?" And the prosecutor said, No. And the detective said, that's what I mean. No, you're not. If you want to understand the book of Revelation, you could try listening to the Bob and Yurt Live albums, two albums that go through the whole book of Revelation. Volume 1 is Seven Churches, Seven Seals, and Volume 2 is Seven Trumpets, Seven Bowls. And so the prosecutor was interested. And he said, I'll listen to it. Give me that first volume. So the detective gave it to him, and he listened through it. Six tapes, about 9 hours of Bible study. It's also on MP3 CD-ROM. And he listened to it again, and he called the detective, and he said, do you have that second album? And the detective did, and he listened to the second album a couple times. And now the prosecutor says, you know what? I understand the book of Revelation. It's fun. You can study it with us. Call us 800-8-NYART or go to the web at kgov.com. That was Jonathan from Castle Rock, Colorado. Appreciated his call. So, yeah, spending has just skyrocketed. Spending has skyrocketed. And now we've got a new $400 million. Right? There's about 300 million people in the country. 300 million people in the country. We're approaching that. So if you had a $300 million program, that would be a dollar a person. But if you had a $300 billion program, now think this through. Since we have about 300 million people in the country, so if the government had a new program that we're going to spend $300 million, now this is a question for public school teachers out there. If there are 300 million people in the country, and the government, a new program is going to cost $300 million, how much does each person have to pay for the program? Public school teachers, this is your chance. Call in. First one to get it right wins that amount. All right. It's a dollar a person. A dollar. Now, what if it's not a $300 million program? What if it's a $300 billion program? Billion with a B. Then how much does each person have to pay for the $300 billion program? Now, public school teachers who were pretty confident they could answer the last question now realize there's no way they can answer this question. And the answer is, drum roll, please. The answer is, now, public school teachers, turn down your volume for a second. No fair cheating. Because if you ever call in, you'll be expected to answer the question. But for the rest of you, the answer is if there's 300 million people in the country and a $300 billion program, it costs $1,000 per person. $1,000. Now, we don't have 300 million people in the country. We have fewer. And this isn't a $300 billion program. It's a $400 billion program. So it's more like $1,400 per person. And in our family, that's per person. That's not just per paycheck earner. So in our family, I'm the only breadwinner in our family, although I don't do nearly as much work as Cheryl does. But I'm the only one actually bringing in a paycheck. She homeschools our kids, takes care of the family, me, in our whole existence. But so it's Cheryl and I, we're the head of the households. And then we have three toddlers. And our 18-year-old, his birthday, when did he turn 18? Not too long. When? Today, December 1st. That's right. He was born in 1985. Turned 18 today. Nathaniel, my son Nathaniel, neat. Young guy. And so maybe I don't have to count him now. He'll have to pay his own taxes. And then we have Stephen is, how old is Stephen? He's 16. So let's say 5, 6. So that's about, let's just be conservative, because we are conservative. And let's say that'll cost me $7,500. $7,500 for my family. That's my share. And the money will go to people who are better off than we are. In my family, we're doing better, I think, than the average family with young kids. I could think of half a dozen families at Denver Bible Church with young kids that are really struggling. And so now the government has saddled them with, if you have three kids and a mom and a dad, figure $7,500 additional tax burden on them. And what's the purpose? The purpose is so that on their backs, wealthier people can be better off, but the younger people don't vote as much as the senior citizens. And so Bush is buying the votes of AARP, which has been traditionally Democratic. And so he wants to be reelected. So they worked out with the ARP, which for the first time now is supporting a Republican initiative and encouraging people to, you know, to support this Republican new law, because it's a new socialist program. So anyway, our government, everything is broken. Everything is broken, and society's broken. So our heroes are broken. Our conservative leaders are broken. I'm broken. Don't look too close at me. I'm broken too. Everybody's a mess. And the only answer, there's only one answer, obviously, it's Jesus Christ and God redeeming us. And it's through him that we could overcome the flesh. Not that we're going to be sinless. You know, the only Christians who think you could be sinless are the Nazarenes, who are of the old school. Old school Nazarenes. You know, I love Nazarenes. Some of my best friends are Nazarenes. And I went to a Nazarene church in New Jersey for years. New Milford Church of the Nazarene with Charlie Rizzo, the pastor. A lot of our friends got saved there. We had a good time, went there for a few years. But the old school Nazarenes, a camp of them, believed that after a second work of grace, you never sinned again. That you became sinless. Now that's, I am actually thankful that virtually no Christians believe that anymore. You know, they just, it's a little hard to say it with a straight face. To tell your wife, you know, you're the pastor of a Nazarene church, and you tell your wife that you're now sinless. And she figures out in about, 4.5 minutes, that there's something wrong with your theology. So anyway, I am thankful that most Christians don't buy that anymore. And the reason is that we have the flesh, and God has redeemed us, and we're a new creation, but we still have the flesh. And the flesh will not be redeemed. And when we go to be with the Lord, we will lose the flesh. We'll leave the flesh behind. And the flesh isn't exactly the meat on your bones. That's not your flesh. That is flesh. But when the Bible talks about the human being's tendency to sin, when it talks about the flesh, it's not talking about your tissue. It's not. As though heavier people sin more than lighter people because they have a bigger dose of flesh. As though people who are anorexic sin less than people of normal weight. That's not true. Your skin and your muscles and your fat cells, that's not what causes you to sin. But you know, what's interesting is the flesh constantly pulls you downward. Constantly. And it's very much, if you try to get an idea, what is the flesh? Well, I can help you in this regard to think through how does the flesh Can you describe its influence, its effect? And if you think of gravity and you compare gravity to the flesh, you have a virtual perfect paradigm, an illustration. It's just perfect because the flesh and gravity function the same. The flesh, your flesh, pulls you down. At every moment, it's pulling you down. And at any moment that you don't resist it, you're going to fall to the ground. You have to resist gravity throughout your entire life, with your physical strength or your brain, your planning, your skill, your money. You have to resist gravity. Otherwise, it will pull you down to the earth and even lower. You eventually, when you eventually just give up resisting gravity, usually you end up under the earth. And, you know, gravity pulls. It's so interesting that in the Bible describes hell as in the earth, deep in the earth. And hell, the wicked from beneath. You know that scary verse in the Bible that hell from beneath is excited to meet you, to the wicked. Hell is glad that you're coming, and all the wicked ones of the earth are waiting for you down in hell. So the Bible presents hell as down in the earth. And it's interesting that gravity pulls everything downward. And the Bible presents heaven as though it were upward, and hell as downward. And the moment you stop resisting gravity, you're pulled down to the earth, toward the center of the earth. And the moment you stop resisting your flesh, like if you think you're going to coast spiritually, you say, well, I become a Christian, I go to church once a week, I'm fine, I don't have to worry about it, I'm just going to coast. I'm not going to really put any effort into this Christian thing. I'm a Christian. I have my bases covered. I'm just going to veg out and do just whatever. Well, will you just coast? Will you stay right where you are? Or will you slowly deteriorate in your spiritual life, in your relationships, in your relationship with God? It'll all deteriorate because you can't coast. An airplane cannot be in flight and then stop resisting gravity. Just, okay, guys, shut off the engines. Let's come to a stop. We're going to just stay here 30,000 feet above the earth. We're going to stay still. You can't. The plane will plummet and crash. So the flesh and gravity are, well, they're, the one is for the physical world, the other is for the spiritual world. They do the same thing. You know, we don't really quite know what gravity is yet. There are a couple of theories, but there's no agreement on it. And we don't really know what the flesh is either. There's some theories, sort of weak, but certainly no agreement. But let me tell you this. We Christians, I think, will have a better chance of figuring out what gravity is. Because when we figure out what gravity is, we'll better understand the flesh. And when we figure out what the flesh is, we'll better understand gravity, because the physical laws and the spiritual laws, they're all a result of our Creator who made the physical and spiritual worlds. And so anyway, hey, it's fun to chat with you guys, study the Bible. Coming out to Denver Bible Church this weekend, and I look forward to the rest of the week. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.